So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ring of Fire this week, May 21st. Shorter show this week. Got a lot of literal house cleaning to do and dealing with kids and whatnot. So we beg your indulgence. However, the good news is that Heather Parton, as you may know her, Digby from the blog Hullabaloo and the writer from Salon.com is here with us this week. Heather, hope you've been staying safe. I have been reading what you've been writing in Salon and wanted to talk about some of the stuff that you've been writing in regards to Bill Barr. I mean, because we have a situation this week where Donald Trump, sort of this, like the project for the past week or two has been rolling out Obamagate and as a strategy to deal with the election. I think it's a bizarre strategy because Donald Trump is not running against Obama. And if he did, he would lose. I mean, I think it's true that Obama was in many ways the catalyst for the movement behind Donald Trump, but he didn't win by very much last time. And he ran against a candidate who had far more liabilities than Barack Obama. But what do you, I mean, I want to dig into the Bill Barr stuff here. And, but what are they just at a complete loss for how to run against Joe Biden?
Well, it sounds like they are. You know, I read a thing this week about how, you know, Trump has been grousing privately that he really wishes he could run against Hillary again. And I'm sure he does. You know, that he does it, that running against Biden, I guess, isn't nearly as much fun or as satisfying or whatever. You know, I don't know. This it seems to me like this is all really just, I don't know if Brad Parscale, the campaign genius behind, you know, Trump's reelection campaign, is with him on this, or whether or not there's just no talking Donald Trump out of it. But he seems to really, revenge is, you know, is really the motivating factor here for Trump. And he wants revenge for the impeachment. He wants revenge for the Russia investigation. And he wants revenge against Obama, who he blames for all of that. And has from the beginning. Remember, he said, you know, they wiretapped me. I mean, that was in the first month or something where he accused Obama of wiretapping his campaign. So he's held this belief, I think, from the very beginning that Obama sabotaged him and set him up so that his first term would fail. And I think maybe it's not really a strategic, you know, decision. I think it's just this is what Trump wants, and Trump just won't, you know, he won't shut up about it. He just demands that they do it. Now, Bill Barr, on the other hand, has an entirely different motivation. I think he's playing a much longer game with this stuff than Trump is. And, you know, he's been, ever since the Watergate days, has been, you know, trying to push this idea that the Congress needs to be, you know, kept in line, that the presidential authority has been usurped, you know, in the post-Watergate era. And, you know, a lot of this for him is an actual project that I think he believes in. And I also, you know, and I think he also actually believes, at least he seems to actually believe, that Donald Trump was unfairly set up in this, just in the mere fact that he was investigated. I don't, you know, the fact that it turned out to be true that the Russian government had been interfering in the election, I think is irrelevant to Barr's belief in that in his mind, that doesn't matter. None of it matters. None of the facts that were unearthed matter. What mattered was that no president should ever be investigated that way. That's simply not done, or at least no Republican president. I'd be interested to see how he would react if it was a Democrat.
Right.
But so, you know, this is a very, you know, they're pursuing this for their own reasons. And I think in the right-wing fever swamp, Sam, you know, they make money on this stuff. This is the kind of stuff that gets the base going, and they spend money on, you know, they buy hats and buy bumper stickers. And, you know, nothing gets them riled up as much as Obama. I mean, you know, that's really, you know, that gets right to their id. So I think that's part of it, too. Obviously, it's part of it for Trump. He wants to get his people all riled up, and Obama's really a good way to do that.
I mean, it seems, I mean, I guess you want to be playing to your own audience now, as opposed to your base now, as opposed to September, right? But if you're the incumbent, I mean, maybe you should have been doing this in January before there was a nominee. Like, it certainly doesn't feel like a general election strategy, right?
It sure doesn't. And to the extent that Trump has a strategy here, you really have to wonder why he would be even the slightest bit worried about his base. I mean, that's why I don't think this really is strategic, because there's no reason for that. His base, I mean, he has some issues that are sort of cropping up due to his mishandling of the coronavirus crisis with seniors who don't particularly enjoy the fact that he gets up and says stuff like, well, they were almost dead anyway, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's like they don't really appreciate that. And, you know, he's certainly, you know, the hemorrhaging of suburban women continues apace. But, you know, I don't think that the Obamagate thing really helps him with that. That's just, I don't really think that that's really something that will appease those particular voters. If anything, for the suburban women, they're probably likely to go the other way with this Obamagate stuff. So, you know, the fact that he's securing, he feels the need, even emotionally, to secure his base, to go this far, it makes absolutely zero electoral sense. So I don't actually think that he's doing that. I think this is just an emotional thing, and I sure get the sense that Lindsey Graham, for instance, who is now announced, as he's been announcing since, you know, he took over the Judiciary Committee, that he was going to, you know, run a big show trial, big investigation into the Russia thing. He was going to call Biden. He was going to call Hunter Biden, you know, and do all this stuff. And he's been promising that for a long time. It seems as though he's really, you know, announcing that he's going to do it now, and it's going to happen in June. So this is definitely an election year or an election cycle sort of gambit to try and gin up this Obamagate thing. And, you know, this is really a mistake, because what Barr is doing, and by Barr, he got up and gave a big, you know, lugubrious statement this week about how he didn't believe that, you know, any president should ever be investigated this way, and we can't allow the process to be hijacked by efforts to drum up criminal investigations of candidates, et cetera, et cetera. By doing that, what he's basically doing is inoculating Trump, or attempting to inoculate Trump, from being investigated if he loses the election in the next cycle. He's basically saying the Department of Justice, he's giving the Republicans a way of saying, hey, you know, we didn't investigate Obama, and you can't investigate Trump. Now, I don't happen to believe that they ever had any intention or will have any intention of criminally investigating Donald Trump, unfortunately, at least from the Department of Justice. It just would shock me if they did that. But Lindsey Graham, on the other hand, by doing this big, yeah, if he follows through on this and does this big show trial thing, he's opening the door wide open for the Congress to do exactly that the minute they take office, and they damned well better. You know, they have to walk through that, and the Republicans will have that door, and Republicans will have no recourse. They can't say, oh, no, you can't investigate a former president. That's just not done. You know, you're breaking norms, et cetera, because that's exactly what Lindsey Graham is planning to do. So in a weird way, Graham is kind of stabbing Trump in the back in a way, and Barr is actually protecting him for the future. And I don't know if either of them sees it that way. I doubt it. I think Graham's just trying to secure his election. He's looking a little
dicey.
That's
what I was going to say. I mean, if it is the case that Graham is like looking for, you know, to take Donald Trump off the court after, you know, in the event that he loses, could be a twofer, because Graham is definitely, I haven't seen the most recent polls, but it's closer than it should be in South Carolina with, I think the Democrat is Harrison, Jamie Harrison there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, this is it's funny to see Graham, you know, ostensibly supporting Donald Trump's agenda, but basically using him as leverage to win his election, and at perhaps the cost of Trump's freedom after he becomes a citizen again.
Well, absolutely. And you know, I'm thankful for it. It's the best thing Lindsey Graham's ever done in some ways, because as far as I'm concerned, whatever he does, you know, this show Charlie's putting on, that's going to backfire, too. I mean, he's pretty much made it clear that he's not going to call Obama or Biden to testify, or at least he said to Trump, be careful what you wish for. And that's right. I mean, I think Obama and Biden, Obama particularly, would be, you know, a really good witness. He'd be really
good.
And I would really love to see that. And I think Lindsey Graham understands that and knows that that would not be good for him or for Donald Trump.
Frankly, I think it would be good for the country. I mean,
oh, I would love it. Yeah,
let's get this off the table. I mean, you know, Obama is, you know, aside from being. Look, you and I have had a lot of policy disagreements with Barack Obama,
yeah.
But, you know, you don't need to agree with him on policy to realize he's a very charismatic guy and that he has still a tremendous amount of support amongst the particularly, you know, those who are just sort of, I don't want to say low information, but he has a lot of support with, you know, folks who haven't dug too deeply into his policy sets.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's a very charismatic guy, and he was also competent, and there was no drama, you know. There was no scandal. 8 years and no scandal. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to like him as president. And the idea that he would get up there and basically be compelled, never mind have license to, but be compelled, which is really just he has license to, but extreme license to, tell what really went down behind these doors. I don't think that's going to help Donald Trump at all. I mean, that would be, I mean, he really, if I had the ability to do one thing, it would be to get Donald Trump to insist that Barack Obama testify.
Well,
because
he wants him to.
Yeah. I mean, I would, that would be crazy. Absolutely.
It would be crazy. And I think they're going to, I mean, I think Graham, if he follows through on this, is going to bring some other people up. I mean, he's going to grill John Brennan. He's going to grill James Comey. There's going to be, and for the life of me, I do not understand, well, I do understand it because Donald Trump is an egomaniac who's obsessed with vengeance on his enemies. But in reality, from a political standpoint, this is not helpful to him to bring up that whole Russia thing again. Why does he want to revisit that? Why does he think that's good for him? It's ridiculous. In the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of this thing, I mean, I guess he thinks it'll be a distraction, which it will be, but the pandemic's not going to go away just because he's distracting people. He and Lindsey Graham are distracting people with a ridiculous show trial. I mean, I just don't think that this is really going to help him. And, you know, this Durham investigation is going to drop probably around the same time and may feature the same
in
players.
June.
I mean,
in June.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's when Graham is planning to begin his hearings. And, you know, so this is definitely, you know, it's a strategy to try to get everybody to, you know, pay attention to that instead of what's going on as the pandemic. Undoubtedly, we see big spikes in, you know, in the numbers, which is probably going to happen since everybody's
I mean, yes, there's going to be big spikes. There might not be, but I mean,
yeah, maybe not. Yeah,
but is anybody but the wingiest of the right wingers going to tune in to see what Susan Rice says about this?
I mean, honestly,
I don't think so either. I mean,
I will, but, you know, I'm a political junkie. But I think even if people are at home, I don't think
no way
care about this at the moment. They just don't.
No, like, I don't know that they ever would
really
care about it.
It's arcane and difficult to unravel anyway. It's like this, you know, and especially the way that they've ginned it up on the right. It's turned into this really complicated web of who said this and he said that and Mike Flynn and unmasking and all this other bullshit. And nobody really, I mean, it's really hard to unravel their own, their weird conspiracy theory about this. And it's always been a complicated story. And I think people, you know, people know what they know about this, and they already know it. And the people who aren't in that right-wing fever swamp just getting themselves all excited and aroused over this thing, everybody else is going, what? You know, we're in the middle of a global crisis here, and you're, you're regurgitating this nonsense? I mean, give me a break. I don't think anybody's going to care about it. And I, if anything, it looks like, it'll look like, you know, Lindsey Graham and the, and John Durham and Bill Barr are fiddling while Rome burns. You know, it's like, really, this is the kind of stuff you're talking about now. You know, we already went through this. We already know what we think about this. And, you know, you're doing this now. So, and it looks blatantly partisan. I mean, it just looks like a, you know, total partisan hit job as far as I can tell. You know, but maybe they'll get some drama out of it. They'll haul up Hunter Biden or something, you know. I mean, big deal.
Yeah, that, well, but that's the thing that I understand. Like, why isn't there more Hunter Biden involved in this? Like, I mean, if I was them, you're going after the wrong person associated with Biden, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Why are you going after the most popular Democrat in the country and one of the most highly respected world leaders? Why would you do that? You know, at this point, how does that benefit you? I don't get it. That's why I don't think it is political strategy. I don't think it's electoral strategy. I think it's just they have to appease Trump. I mean, he is at a point now where he's just making ridiculous demands, and they all just are going, well, okay, you know, I guess we'll go along with that. And it's bad that they're doing that, because look at the stuff that's going on. I mean, the firing of the inspectors general.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, there's been basically an inspector general massacre. He's fired half a dozen of them now. Is it more?
I think so.
And the latest is the State Department's inspector general. The story that they tried to push at first was he was fired because he was investigating Mike Pompeo's use of, like, I don't know, of a dog walker. And my first reaction to that is this is not true. Or maybe the guy was investigating that, but that's not why they fired him, right? I mean that can't be. They're not firing the inspector general for going after that, because the story's out. Like, what's the value of that? You just have the inspector general put that story out. It's nothing. I think they were afraid of the arms deal to Saudi Arabia.
Sure, of course.
And they're just putting out the dog walker is like shiny object type of thing.
Well, and it also exposes Pompeo, because he lied and he said, I didn't know anything about what the inspector general was talking about. And he made this quip, right? He said, they said that, you know, I had somebody walking my dog to sell arms to my dry cleaner. It was crazy. By putting that selling arms thing in there, he absolutely, you know, exposed himself, because that he knew absolutely about it. He refused to meet with the inspector general, which nobody's ever done before, of his own department, and it only agreed to answer written questions, kind of going, you know, with the Trump routine that he did with Mueller. Pompeo knew very well what he was being investigated for, and it was that. The dog walking stuff, and then now we know that he's been holding these political meetings at the State Department with a bunch of, you know, rich donors preparing his email list for his 2024 run for president. All of which is, you know, that part of it is all in keeping with plenty of people in the Trump administration. In the early days, they ended up, you know, resigning over it. Remember Price and Pruitt and Zinke and all the rest of these people? They were all doing that kind of corrupt stuff, using, you know, their employees as servants and what have you. But this arms deal thing, that's big. And not only is it big, and this is where you look again at the absolute roaring cowards in the Senate. They had, you know, a bunch of those Republicans in the Senate, you know, had been against this particular arms deal thing, including Lindsey Graham, by the way. And the fact that Trump was having none of it. Now, we don't know what that's really about, but I think the fact that they fired this inspector general, it provides at least some kind of evidence that there's much more to that story than what we already know. That has something to do with Jared, money, you know, God only knows what. But there's something more going on there. And Pompeo's right in the middle of it. And that is why he did it, because he's planning this, you know, this big career, and he wanted to shut that thing down. And it didn't really work for him, I don't think, because now everybody's looking at him much differently than they were before.
All right. So lastly, are we going to see, like, House investigation into this? Like, are we going to see the House of Representatives do...
Do they exist?
I mean... The most heartening thing I've seen in a while was that there was some coalition between some frontline Dems and some progressive Dems who were just sick of the way that Pelosi was running everything, and they're sick of the fact that they shot down this Pramila Jayapal bill because it had a sort of the frontline populism appeal, and it went nowhere. Speaking of nowhere, the U.S. House is working from home, and they figured out a way to vote now, but no oversight hearings. Virtually no nothing.
I know. The only good thing that I saw was, and it had to do with the Pompeo thing we were talking about, was that Elliot Engel, who I think is the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, he was the first one to come out and say something, and that's unusual for him because he's just not usually that kind of a, you know, it was a bold statement, which kind of indicated to me, ooh, you know, maybe they are going to move on this. I don't know. And you and I talked about this last week. You know, the House of Representatives, they're essential workers. You know, the grocery store people are out there working. A lot of people are going back to work now, and honestly, they really need to go back to work. And I get it. I understand that, but they can follow all the same rules. They can have the social distancing. They can wear their masks. They can do whatever they can do from their offices. But, the Congress doesn't function the way it should if they're not in the same place. I mean, that's just obvious to me that what these people are off doing is some kind of constituent services, readying their campaigns, doing whatever, but that's certainly not the same thing, and they really, really need to get onto this oversight thing. It's unbelievable. And even forgetting Pompeo, and that should be done, of course, and, there will actually even be time to do that after the election. What can't wait is dealing with what's going on with workers in this country right now.
Right.
And, the healthcare system breaking down and the fact that the CDC is apparently in total chaos. I mean, these are the kind of things that you absolutely need to have oversight. And, that, like, the hearing that they had with Richard Bright, I thought was really quite good. I mean,
absolutely.
I thought, I'm going, okay, that was informative. That was helpful. Thank you.
I mean, that puts lie, too, to, like, I have been, and we have both been, but I don't know, I've been very critical of Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I think what she's been doing during this period of time, including Schumer as well, for that matter, but has been really, in many respects, disastrous. And the Richard Bright, people may not know his name. He was the head of BARDA, which is basically the center of expertise in vaccination and, pandemic response, et cetera, et cetera. And that got attention. That cut through the noise. And the fact that it did seems to me to indicate that this stuff can get attention. This stuff can cut through the noise. Maybe we should be doing this. Like, it has some value. Let the people know that Donald Trump has been horrible. I know we think that everybody thinks that he's horrible, but they clearly don't. And the Democrats are not doing anything. And it seems like an amazing wasted opportunity at best. At worst, it could come back to bite us. But Digby, let's save that for next week. Maybe we come back and maybe the Dems are, in fact, doing something.
Well, fingers crossed.
one can hope. One can always hope. Heather Parton Digby, thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, folks, that's our program for this week. Check us out next week. We'll be back with Heather again and with multiple interviews for your listening pleasure. Stay safe. I've always done the best I can.